Welcome to Threshold Church. Today's message is from Jeremy Eshelman.
Yeah, I do not want to leave this place. I want to stay in this place for the entire service, actually. So I may break in with a little bit of preaching here and there. I have a couple of very important things I feel like the Lord is saying, but you're welcome to sit, you're welcome to stand, you're welcome to come up front and bring your kids and huddle up close and get tight, but yeah, I do not want to leave this place. So if you feel like, hey, this is an opportunity to go back to your seats, just wait. We're going to go back into a little bit more worship, and then I'm going to break in with some more things. So yeah, I feel like what's happening here is really important. I feel like we're restoring the order to what has been lost. Something that the Western church has been really good at, and just the Western civilization as a whole, is we see something and we put a method together and we put a procedure together and we perfect it and we make it right. And in doing so, we lose everything that brought about the initial drive, the initial fire, the initial creative genius that was sparked. You see, that works with earthly matters. When it comes to building a building, you know, we perfect and we engineer and we design and we get better and we get better and we get better. And then we watch this with our eyes in the spiritual. We see things happening. We see a tent meeting, a revival meeting, and we say, all right, this is what they did. They put up the biggest tent. They did this. They added this. They had worship at this time. And we get so caught up with the methods that we forget exactly what brought the fire and brought the revival and brought the outpouring of the Spirit in the first place. It was men and women devoted to relationship with their Father in the secret place and in prayer. And we've taken what we've seen with our eyes and we've used these giftings that we have that are really good in earthly matters. You wake up and you put your shoes on, you tie them, you do this, you this, you this. And we've brought the order of our churches down to this science of how to make things work. And Jake's mentioned this over the past couple weeks. The past 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, we brought this visionary message. I'm sorry, Chad, I'll get you up here in a second, but we're gonna be in and out of worship. But 2 weeks ago, it was vision. It was a vision Sunday, casting. And then last week, it may not have been labeled this way, but last week was visionary Sunday week two. It was all about prayer. Because that is what the house of God is called to be, a house of prayer. So we take the things that we see, we take the things that revivalists and all the pioneers and all the great leaders of the church that have gone before us, and we see what they do with our eyes, and it doesn't calculate, it doesn't transfer from earthly matter to spiritual matter. And we don't understand why our churches are dead, why our services, they're full of people, but we don't see the same power. We don't see the same response because we're going after people's minds. We're going after what people know. We go after what people are familiar to, but we are absolutely not touching hearts. We're not transforming hearts. We're preaching to intellect. We're preaching to emotions. We're preaching to the familiar. We're making people feel comfortable because this is what they've grown up with. This is what they've seen for their entire lives. They said, this is comfortable. From when I was young, I used to sit in this pew and I used to sing these songs. And a lot of these churches, a lot of these denominations, I grew up in the Brethren in Christ denomination, and just the history of how the Brethren in Christ church, the Anabaptist movement was birthed. It was birthed out of persecution. It was birthed out of martyrdom. It was birthed out of this fleeing so they could worship God freely in America. And the origins of all, a lot of these Anabaptist churches, a lot of these movements, a lot of the Methodist movement, all the Reformist movements, they're all birthed out of this place of power, of fire, of revival. And then we take the exact same things and we apply them to our lives, but we don't understand how they got to where they were. And it is all, you will always look back to the beginning. You will always see prayer. You will always see prayer. See, God has been highlighting order. He has been highlighting the order of the church, because when we see order, we see the right chairs, we see the right music, we see the right temperament of the preacher, we see the very gifted worship leaders, we see all the right songs. But God has given us one order for his house. God said that my house shall be a house of prayer. And when he speaks to the house, there's really a twofold thing there. It's the church, this is his house. And ourselves as individuals, we are his house. We're the place, the dwelling place of his presence, the dwelling place of his spirit. And this church is his bride. The congregation, the coming together of his body, all of his pieces in under one roof. And we're missing the mark. I did something, I read Power Through Prayer in one day, yesterday, the day before. It's by E.M. Bounds. If you've never read it, go buy it and read it. Maybe we can get 50 copies and have them out here for you guys to take home. But this book is so powerful. I could read you the first chapter and you would think that I'm reading just the highlights from the book, but I'm literally just reading straight word for word the first chapter. Power Through Prayer. And Ian Bounce, he talks about the death that we've allowed in our pulpits, in our churches, that we don't have ministers who are alive in their heart. We have ministers that are alive in their intellect. We have ministers that are alive in the way that they express their emotions. We have ministers that they can do all these different things. But there's no heart connection. There's no preaching from the heart. And if there's no preaching from the heart, there's no transformation of your heart. We are committed to not just going back, not just doing things the way that the world sees order, that the earth sees order to be done. Because when we do it that way, we are missing the one who authored the order in the first place. Do you think you can preach out of the Bible and it can bring death to people? I say that very cautiously, but I'm like, this, because saying that, you're like, oh, it's inspired word of God. Listen, the devil quoted the Bible, and it was not for the sake of life. It was for the sake of death. It was for the sake of destruction. So if whoever's ministering, whether it's you, whether it's a preacher in front of a church, whether it's on the street, if your heart is not transformed, if you're not preaching from the heart, from a sanctified and sacrificed heart unto the Lord, you will not sanctify and you will not bring holiness to the ones you're preaching to. We literally have dead preachers filling America's churches. Because like Jake said in the past couple of weeks, we are more impressed by numbers. We're more impressed by money. We're more impressed by the sound of the worship than the one that it's worshiping, that the worship is to. Judas spoke the truth of Jesus out of his mouth. He said, why don't we do this for the poor? Why do we not care for the poor? The truth was coming out of his mouth that this is important. We must care for the poor. But his intentions and his motives were evil. They were evil because there was disorder. And God has been really, really pinning that on me over the past couple months is his order. God has established his order, and it doesn't look like the church that we see across this nation. The order comes from one place. It comes from intimacy and relationship. It comes from prayer. It comes from spending time with Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, you actually begin to look like him. You actually begin to talk like him. You actually begin to speak and act and see like he sees. That's why we're called. We're commanded to worship in spirit and in truth. I could preach truth to you all day. Jake said it last week. He said you can fill up a church. An atheist could fill up a church if they follow the right methods. Say the right things. Read from the Bible. But it's that spirit. It's that connection to the spirit God himself, God himself, the creator of the universe, the one who created everything that we're after. You see, we're after all these things. We're after revival. We just sung about it. We want to see revival. We do. We want to see a prophetic voice lifted up. We want to see an apostolic center that sends out missionaries. We want to see the kingdom of darkness destroyed. And we want all these things, but we don't understand. Or if we did, we would spend our hours not building better churches and building better methods. I'm speaking from Inbounds now, but building better men and better women on their knees in the secret place. There is nothing more valuable that we can do with our time. There is absolutely nothing more valuable we can do with our time than spend it on our knees. That everything that we do here at Threshold will be done from that place of prayer. And we've kind of been, in a really good way, somewhat forced into that this year, because a lot of stuff, about a year ago, I remember having these conversations with people. We were literally talking through, like, if we do this, we might lose people. And it didn't matter, because we knew that what we were doing, the prayer focus that we felt we were supposed to go after, that we might take time away from preaching, we might take time away from this and this and all these different things that the church says has to be there, and we're going to devote them in a greater fashion, in a greater amount, and a greater fervency to prayer and prayer alone. And we thought, if we do this, this doesn't look like the church that people are used to. It's not the church that people are comfortable with, and we might lose people. And we said, we're okay with that. Our church looks a lot different than it did a year ago. But we as leadership, see more prayer. We see different prayer than we've ever seen before. And it is worth it, no matter what the cost. If we have a praying people, there's no greater value that we can add to this church, to add to this body. Almost exactly a year ago, I stood up here, not here, we'd have been at the middle school then, and I gave a prophetic, visionary word for the year 2020. And it had three parts to it. I shared briefly on what did I share on Jake? He doesn't remember. The Tower of Babel. Briefly on the Tower of Babel, how we do not we the church wants to reach heaven through our own methods, through our own means, through building something up. Through building a church with our hands, with our methods, and they thought they could reach the sky. They thought they could reach heaven by building with bricks and mortars. I briefly spoke on the importance of the word, how 2020 was going to be a year where we must demand our time to be entered into the word. To love the word, to love the stories, to love the Old Testament, the New Testament, everything, that we were called to go deep into the word. And I know a lot of people in this room were not there, they did not hear this. And then the third thing I spoke on, where I spent the majority of my time, was I felt like Threshold Church was raising up, was being called, as well as other churches in the region, was being called to raise up to be a Jonathan. And I specifically highlight the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer, where King Saul, this is 1 Samuel 13 and 14, I believe. King Saul and his men, they were hiding in caves, they were hiding in dens, they were hiding in cisterns, and Jonathan was out. He was looking for something. And I look back and I'm like, wow, that, what an interesting picture of the year. It seemed like churches and leaders and all these, no matter what it was, whether it was church or not, but everybody was hiding and they didn't know what to do. They were confused. They were scared. They were bowing down, literally, to go low, to hide in these places. You were bowing down to what they feared. And that Threshold Church, and God was calling other churches as well, but we're to be a Jonathan and his armor bearer that was willing to step out from the rocks, step out from all these dry places, to step out from these dead places, and to go fearlessly into what God has said, what God has spoken over his people, that it doesn't matter the circumstances. It didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter the number that was in front of them. All that mattered was what God had said. And I don't know if this is going to be a theme every year, but I very clearly, over this past year, God has been speaking over Threshold Church and over his church. That we are to be called, we are supposed to be a Gideon church. I have a couple points that go along with that, but we, this year, this season, looking for, I don't know if it's a yearly thing, I don't know, but God is clearly saying that this house, the Threshold Church, is supposed to be a Gideon church. And this is what I mean by that. You read the story of Gideon. If you want to open it, go there. If not, it's okay. I'm just going to talk for a while. I might go to the word here. But in Judges chapter 6, the first thing that we read is that Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the hand of Midian came down upon them for 7 years. And again, this is where this order and order comes into play, because this is disorder. It said that Israel did evil. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the hand of Midian was allowed to come over them for 7 years. There's a really good sermon. I encourage you to look it up tomorrow and the next coming days. There's a woman named Esther Ibanga. She's a Nigerian preacher. She's fiery. She spoke at Times Square Church about exactly a year ago almost. And she gave this really powerful word about the Gideon church. So I'm drawing a little bit from there. I'm drawing a little bit from Ian Bowes, but I'm drawing a lot on what I feel like God is saying, what it means to be a Gideon church. The things I'm going to say, there's not necessarily a progression to all of them, but some of them, the order is important. But what matters is that the people of God were out of order. The order that he gave them was to obey him, to be with him, to serve no other gods but him. So if the people did evil what was in the sight of the Lord, they were not in obedience, and they were not following their Lord, their God, and their only God. I'm going to skip a couple of different parts. I'm going to skip some of the most notable parts that we could all probably memorize and tell the story of Gideon about his 300 men, about the sheep's wool and all those different things. But this is what I feel like the Lord is saying about Threshold and about different churches being the church of Gideon at this time and in this season. You see, Israel was out of order. It said that the Midianites would come to them like locusts, destroying everything. And because the hand of Midian was so strong against them, it said that they cried out to the Lord. You see, everything that comes after that moment is not about God's order. Everything that comes out from that point on, it says that because the hand of the Midianites was strong upon them, that they cried out to the Lord their God to rescue them. Everything after this is not God's order. It's the result of his order. It's the result of a church that cries out to God. That is the order. You had disorder of people that were doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and you had order. They cried out to God. See, then you can take these next steps and you can say, all right, this is the order of God. And you know, this is the result of a praying church. This is the result of a church that has committed its voice, that has committed itself unto order to God, and that order is being the house of prayer. Bring a church that cries out to God. It says they cried out to God, and what's the first thing that happened? It said God sent them a prophet. When we become the church that cries out to God, you will see the prophetic voice lifted up in the church. You do not pursue the prophetic voice. You pursue God and cry out to Him, and the prophetic voice will rise up. After that, we see the call of Gideon. I feel that Gideon represents the apostolic leadership in the church today. The apostolic leadership is not what we pursue. We pursue a church that cries out to God, and the apostolic leaders will raise up within the church. I gotta see what's next, I'm not gonna lie. God tells Gideon to tear down the idols. I do not know if we can even see the idols if we're not a church that is praying. Because the idols are not always obvious to us. See, to Gideon and to his family and to his tribe, the idols that they've set up were actually a safety net. They were a security blanket. Because they put the idols up to Baal, and they put up this Asherah, which was actually torn down and cut up and used as the wood on the altar to restore the altar to God. That's Jesus right there. But they thought that if they put the altars of their enemies up, that it would create a safety. It would create safety. It would create an opportunity for them not to be attacked by their enemy, because they feared their enemy more than they feared God. They feared their enemy to the point that they were willing to disassemble whatever they had as a true altar to God and assemble something that was unholy and evil in all of its ways. We will not be a church that tears down idolatry unless we are the house of prayer. Our eyes must be opened. There are things that are hidden in plain sight that we do not believe, that we do not know is actually idolatry in the Western church today. It doesn't look like idols on mantles anymore. It doesn't, in some places it does. But what are the things that we're relying on more than God for our safety? After Gideon tears down the idol and cuts down the Asherah, the Lord told him to rebuild an altar that is in the proper order to me. That is what we are doing here. Our process is to build this church on God's word and God's word alone, on God's direction and His direction alone, on God's vision and His vision alone, that we do not get to build Threshold Church what the neighbor's church down the street looks like that's flourishing, because they have their parking lots full. We don't get to choose that. We don't get to choose a church across the country. Even though a lot of the stuff they're doing might be good, that's not where we get our methods from. We get our methods from the secret place. We get our methods from our knees. We will be the church that restores a true altar to God. A building that is built by His word and by His mouth, by His direction. And to understand and to know if this was actually God speaking with him, that he could trust God. Gideon, if you know the story, he lays out the sheep's wool and says, make this wet and this not, and this that and this not the next day. This is the church that asks and God answers. God says, knock and the door will be open. He says, seek and you will find, ask and I will answer you. Why would we want it any other way? This comes from a church on their knees, a church, the church that cries out to God. The Gideon Church is a church that brings the people into one accord. Do you know that Israel wasn't a weak nation? They were just scattered and they were out of order. We look at the story and it looks like all that Gideon could muster was 30,000 some troops against the 120, 150,000 of the Amorites and their. He only went to three tribes and he got 30,000 people. They thought they were weak. They were not in unison. They were not in unity. They were not in one accord. That the only way that the church can come in one accord is in the Spirit of God, is in the secret place of prayer. That when everybody goes to Him on their knees, that I promise you that on the other end of coming out, that you will be on one accord. It's just the way it works. There's so many testimonies. I hear so many stories of anointed leaders, leaders in different churches that on Sunday morning, Jake preached a message and you find out that three other churches in the area of people that we trust and we do relationship with and we know that are listening to the Spirit of God are preaching the exact same topic, the exact same message because they're on their knees and they're praying and they're in one accord with God and the Holy Spirit. A couple more here. We will be a church, a Gideon church that brings great glory to God even in our weakness. You see that with the 300. You see that even being outnumbered 150,000 to 30,000, that was too great of an opportunity for men to get glory and not for God. We will let God be our strength and our weakness. We know that there is no way healings can happen unless it's through God. We know that there's no way that miracles, that deliverance can happen unless it's by the Spirit of God. What about our preaching? What about our teaching? What about our children? We just had our children, our little ones, who would be considered like Gideon, the least among their tribe in most places. We say, no, we will see God's mighty works through their hands. God will receive glory in this house through our weakness, or what the world sees as weakness. Two more. The Gideon Church is the church that brings confusion to the camp of the enemy. We will bring confusion to the enemy camp. We will bring destruction to the enemy and all of his works. There is a sacrifice in that. Whether it's your comfort, whatever it is, there is a sacrifice in that. Gideon had to lay down, and his 300 men had to lay down whatever their mind was telling them, whatever the earth was telling them, that this is a good idea, guys. The only way it's a good idea is if it's done by the hand of the Lord. And lastly, you see Gideon and his men, they do exactly what God says. They break the jars, they light their torches, they blow the trumpets, and the enemy turns itself on each other, and that's how it happens with God. So many times you don't even have to lift a finger, that the enemy ends up destroying themselves. But the last point is that we will not stop there. That it says that Gideon then pursued the men, the enemy, and he pursued the princes of that land. It says that the princes, Zeba and Zalmunna, it says that they ran and they ran and they ran. See, this represents the principalities of this region. We want to destroy the works of the devil, but we don't want to stop there. We want to see the strongholds of this region absolutely obliterated and put to death and sent out of here forever. I promise you, there is no method for this except to be on your knees. Because when you go to those places, you cannot do it from your own strength. We must be a house of intercessors. We must be a people of individuals, and we must be a people corporately that are on our knees. So Jay kind of said it before, if this isn't what you're in for, if this isn't what you want, this might not be the house for you, because you will see more and more and more of this. And we can't compromise that. If you have kids, we're going to teach it to your kids. If your kids go to the youth group, we're going to teach them at youth group. When life groups start back up, we're going to do it at life groups. It's going to be crucial. It's going to be the front and center at life groups. We're doing meals and fellowship. Yeah, you're also going to pray. Everything has to be infused. It has to be dominated by prayer. Because out of that relationship, out of that intimacy with the Father, we have the Father's plans. We don't get to use the plans of earth anymore. We don't get to use the plans of our intellectualism. We don't get to use the plans of our emotionalism. We stir so many emotions in church services. I hope I'm not stirring any emotions here. I hope this is cutting to the heart, because this is a powerful message, but this is also a hard message. This means sacrifice. Probably not next week, but we might start calling you at 5:30 in the morning, making sure you're praying. We'll give you guys a month, though, till we start doing that. This is the Gideon church. This is what God was highlighting to me over the past year. He brought it up every couple months. He just took me back to the Gideon church, to the story of Gideon. And I'm like, all right, God, what are you saying? And then come December and January, when we entered into the 21-day fasting, it's like it hit me like a brick. Like, this is the message. This is now. This is so important. Are we willing to invest? Are we willing to get up earlier than we've ever gotten up? Are we willing to pray throughout the day? Are we willing to teach our kids how to pray, even though it doesn't look like they're understanding a thing? Can I share a testimony with you? I shared this to the elders the other day. And we have a friend of ours, they had a plaque, Psalms 91, the entire Psalms 91, not one verse, but the whole thing inscribed in this wooden plaque. So every night for a week, we'd lay in bed, me and my son, and I would read it to him. He's kicking the walls. He's not paying attention. After only a week, I'm like, Aaron, can you do this with me? Every single word. It did not look like my son was paying attention. Every single word. He knows it. I might have to give him the first word, but then he... Our kids are picking this up. And if it means that they're squirming on your lap when we're all here together praying, it's okay. They're learning. I'm telling you, they're learning. They're absorbing this. They're learning how to pray even when they don't look like it. This is non-negotiable. This is non-negotiable for Threshold Church, but we don't get to go home with you. This has to be non-negotiable in your private life and with your families. It has to be. It has to be. We can only do so much with 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday evening. We can only do so much. Yes, come to the prayer gatherings. There is something powerful. There is something just engaging. There is something just even fire starting about gathering with others and learning and watching. I've had some very influential people in my life when it comes to my walk with Jesus. And the most influential things about those people is they made me pray. They made me pray, and they didn't let me stop after 5 minutes. We kept going for hours. And we didn't do it once a day. But eventually, it grew and it grew. The fire was kindled and it wasn't enough. I had to get more. I promise you that fire will grow. You just have to put a little bit of wood in it. You have to just let the spark hit it, and you have to just tend it a little bit. It will grow and it will grow and it will grow, but it is going to take some effort. It is going to take some sacrifice. Hey, thanks, worship team. All right. God's order is really important. And it's not for his sake, it's for ours. Because when we honor somebody by doing what they're asking us to do, it shows that we're one with them. It shows us that we are interested. It shows us that we are invested in them and what they want in their way. This is what God has said over Threshold Church. This is what he said to his body. This is what he said to individuals, but we know and we are hearing louder and clearer than ever that this is non-negotiable for this house. So are you gonna be okay if we don't preach quite as much and we turn it into prayer meetings? You can clap, go for it. This is what we have to do. And that's what we're going to continue to do now. I want to give like 3-4 minutes. I want to sing a song. I want to go back into worship for one song. And in that moment, it's going to bring our hearts back into one with God. But if you're a parent, and even if your infant or your toddler is back there right now, and you want them to be a part of this, I'm not saying you have to. If you want them to be like, our kids are watching again. If you're like, no, like, I need this, absolutely, stay here, don't move. But throughout this first song, if you want your child to be in here with you, go get them. And then I have three points that I want to go after here in prayer. And we might have some more. I'm going to ask the elders and some other leaders if they have anything throughout this time to bring it forward. But we're gonna worship with one song, and then I wanna go after some of those points that we just walked through, that we're gonna pray over Threshold. We're gonna pray over this house. You know that Paul the apostle, with how much he prayed, he still begged the church to pray for him. He still asked, he still needed the church to be praying for him. So the first prayer point I want to go after the first song is repentance for what is out of order and a restoration to his order. The second point will be the order of his church to be restored, for the apostle, the prophet, and for the church to be in one accord here. And the last thing we're going to spend some time on is the destruction of the enemy. We're going to go after the works of the devil and over the principalities over this region, and we're going to pray against them tonight. So you guys can go ahead, come up front, stand in your seat, but I want to get up. I want to intentionally go into worship for 3 or 5 minutes. Use this time if you want to go get your kids, to go get them. If not, our children's leaders are awesome. They'll be okay. Stay where you're at. And then we're going to hit some of these prayer points. Okay? Thank you, Chad. Thank you, worship team.
Holy, oh God Almighty, holy, holy, oh God Almighty, holy, holy, holy. God Almighty, holy, holy.
Take this first moment here to actually want to cry out as individuals and as families to cry out for repentance for any way that we've allowed ourselves to be out of order with God. That can be sin. It doesn't have to be sin. That can just be, hey, I've allowed myself to put these restrictions on you. I've allowed myself to only worship you this way. I've allowed myself to get in the mindset of this is how I do stuff. I haven't been with you, God. I haven't given you my first and my best. You might have to do this as an individual. You might have to do this as a family. If you and your family, if you and your wife need to reconcile things, if you need to repent, God, that sorry, I have not been doing this with my children, whatever it is, if that's out of order, then take some time and just pray through it. Pray for restoration to it and pray for repentance. Father, we cry out to you, God. We cry out to you, Lord. We repent, Lord, for every way, Lord, every way we've allowed ourselves, God, any way we've allowed our families, God, to be out of order with your design. You are the creator. God, we do it your way, and no other way matters, Lord. Father, forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, Lord, for any way that I've allowed myself, Lord. I've allowed my family, God, to be out of order, God, with your way, God, with your purposes, God, the way that you've done things, the way that you ask us to do things, Father. God, forgive me for preaching from my emotions, God. Forgive me for preaching from any place besides my heart, God. Father, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God, for when I have not made prayer, Lord. For when I have not made a relationship with, for when I have not made you, God, the front and center of my life, God. Thank you, Father. God, we cry out to you, Lord. Go ahead, lift your voices. If you need to do it quietly, go for it. But just take some time. We're not gonna just jump off of these things. So we're gonna take a significant amount of time on each of these. Lay it at Jesus' feet. That's why he did it. That's why he did it, to separate us from all of our mistakes, to separate us as far as the east is from the west, from the things that we've done in sin, the things that we've done without even realizing it was sin, and for just the things where we've been out of place and out of order, and he's calling us home. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you open our eyes, Lord. Father, open our eyes, God. God, open our eyes, God. Show us, reveal to us any place, God, any place where we are out of order with you, Lord. God, I ask for restoration. God, I ask for restoration in Jesus' name over this house. I ask for restoration over the families. I ask for restoration over every man, every woman, every child here in Jesus' name, God. God, restore to your order, God. I just pray for a submitting of ourselves, God, a submitting of our lives to you, Lord. God, no matter what the cost, God, you're worth the sacrifice, God. God, you looked at us and you saw us, God. You saw us worthy of the sacrifice of the perfect one. God, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, God. God, you are worthy, God. Jesus, you are worthy, God. I ask for restoration to the family, God. I ask for restoration, God, to your heart. God, restore us to your heart, God. God, take us to our knees, God. Take us to our secret place. God, take us to our closets, God. You need to stay in that place for a little bit. You're blessed to do so, but I want to start to gather here in groups of 5, 6, 7. Gather in small groups, and I want to go after this God pouring out his restoration to the church. I want to pray specifically for the restoration of the apostolic church, the restoration of the prophetic voices, the restoration of the church being in one accord, even on the church level and on the body level, other churches, that we don't have to look at the church next to us and see it as competition. Can we pray for God's heart, God, to make us in one accord with the believers across this region, across the United States, and just even in one accord with the other believers that are standing next to us right now in this room. There can be so much separation even within a church. And that comes from prayer, that comes from intimacy with the Father. So gather up, would you, and like I said, groups 5, 6, 7, make them on the smaller side. Let's just go after those things. Go after, like I said, go after just God's restoration to the church, God's restoration to prayer, to intercession. God, we just ask for a restoration, God. We ask for a restoration to this body, God. We ask for a restoration over Threshold Church, God, to the gift of intercession, God. God, wake up your intercessors, God. God, wake up your intercessors, God. Wake up your prophets, God. God, wake up your prophetic voice, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you, Lord. We say, God, wake up the apostolic anointing over Threshold Church, God. Over whoever else you're raising up in this region, God. Raise up your apostolic leaders, God. Your apostolic voices. God, I pray for the church to be in one accord, God. I pray for Threshold Church to be in one accord, Lord. God, that we don't look at our own desires, we don't look at our own wants, we don't look at our own direction we want to see the church going about, but we are on our knees saying, what is your way, God? God, what is your way, God? Even if I want to see this, even if I want to see this come up, God, it's your way. God, ask for your believers, God, ask for your church to be in one accord, Lord. God, make us in one accord, God, and take us deep, Lord. Take us deep, God. God, put an end to this surface level Christianity, God. God, let us not be okay with the shallow waters, God. Let us not be okay with shallow waters, God. Take us to your depths, God. Take us to the depths of your Spirit, Lord. Father, by the saints on their knees, Lord, by the saints on their knees, restore to the church everything that has been lost, God. God, with the saints on their knees, God, restore everything that is out of order, God, back to your order, God. Restore the voices of the prophetic, Lord. Restore everything that, God, you desire for your house to have in it, Lord. But God, we say, do it according to your will, Lord. Do it according to your will, God. Do it by your strength, God. By your strength, Lord. Not by our own, God. Not by what we can, not by we can put in this church, God, but by the saints on their knees, Lord, crying out for you to provide, Lord. We say, we need you. We need you to provide. God, you be the one to do it. God, you be the one that lifts up the prophetic, Lord. You be the one that lifts up the apostolic. God, you be the one, Lord, not us. God, any way we push our own agenda, God, any way we push our own thoughts, God, our own blueprints, Lord, we say, God, just cut them out, Lord. God, we say, by your hand and by your strength, Lord. God, restore to Threshold Church. God, anything that is lacking, anything, any place we have been out of order, God, with your way. Thank you, Lord. We're gonna stay in these groups. I wanna intentionally go after the works of the enemy. Go after the works of the enemy and go after specifically as well. We can do both. We want to pray against the works. We also want to pray against the principalities that are over this region, the religious spirit. We want to pray against just this works mentality, the works mentality that gets in the way of us kneeling and submitting to God's process. Just take some time and pray against, yeah, all of these things. Just pray destruction and confusion to the enemy's camp. So Father God, we lift our voices, God. God, we lift our voices to you. God, and in our weakness, God, you are strong. So Father God, in our weakness, God, we say confusion, send it, Lord. Send confusion to the camp of the enemy, God. Send confusion to the enemy camp, God, that the enemy would turn on himself, God. He would turn on himself, Lord, and destroy himself, Lord, by your hand, God. God, we ask for confusion, God. God, confusion to the religious spirits, God. Confusion to the spirits of pride, Lord, that enter the churches, God. The pride that encompasses them and makes them seek after self rather than you, Lord. Pray against the enemy. Pray against the enemy. Pray against the principalities. We got a couple things that are stirring up. We'll incorporate them in a couple minutes. But go after this. Go after this. That we are to go against the gates. We are supposed to push against the works of the devil. We don't just roll over. If we see something out of order, we fix it if it's of ourselves, and we destroy it if it's of the devil. If it's on our own accord, we turn from it. We turn away from our wickedness and we turn to God. If it's on the devil's accord, we destroy it. We go after it fiercely. We go after it with the word. We go after it with the spirit. We go after it with the truth. Father God, you reign. You reign, God. There is no end to the increase of your government, Lord. There is no end, God. We exalt you, Lord. We say, send out, Lord. Send out your angels, God. Send out your angels now, Lord. God, send out your angels, Lord, to bring destruction to the camp of the enemy, God, to bring confusion, God, that they would not know where they are, they would not know what they were doing, and they would turn on themselves, Lord.
Thank you, Father. We're going to stay in this vein for a few more minutes, but I want to have Khadija share something she was getting during the beginning part of worship that really I felt like now relates to what we're praying specifically about seeing the works of the enemy destroyed. And so I'm going to have you share what you were getting there.
Yes, I don't know if any of you guys have felt it, but in Lancaster City specifically, it just feels like there's like this heavy blanket of depression and oppression when you're there. And so God was showing me that there are actually witches and people that are a part of the occult that have taken dominion in this region, and they are speaking curses over the city of Lancaster. So if you, and especially young people are so, and I know people personally that are dabbling in the occult because they're so hungry for something, especially, you know, since there's been such a vacuum with coronavirus and isolation, that they're looking for something. And so they're going to these things, and it's being allowed into the churches, it's being allowed into the region, even local politicians that are dabbling in some of these things. And so I just want to pray, if you know anybody that is dabbling in the occult in any way, shape, or form, please pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just pray for our region, Lord God. We say, Lord, we want our churches back. We want our region back. Lord, we want you to reign in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask that anybody who is dabbling in the occult, Lord God, that you would free them and you would deliver them, Lord God, that you would give them the truth of you, Lord God. Lord, I pray blood be poured out over this region in the city of Lancaster, Lord God. It is your land, Lord God. We claim it for you in the name of Jesus.
I want us to pray. You know, sometimes the enemy is more strategic than the church, and the church can be asleep and just kind of unaware and ignorant of these kind of things, and people that are in the kingdom of darkness. I want to pray for God to call people out of the kingdom of darkness, out of witchcraft, and let's pray for God to bring judgment on the powers of darkness. You know, in the book of Exodus, it said that God brought judgment on the gods of Egypt when he brought them out. It wasn't just about Pharaoh and all that. It was the actual principalities, the gods. So let's pray that God would pull people out of that darkness so they don't get judged with the judgment. All right? I mean, they have a choice to make, but let's pray for a harvest, but let's pray for God to destroy the works of the devil in this area. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that your kingdom come, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, over the powers of darkness. God, I ask you to bring confusion to the enemy's camp. God, I ask you to release judgment against the powers of darkness. I ask you to release judgment, God, against principalities, against powers, Lord, against demonic spirits, God, against the spirit of witchcraft, Father. God, against satanic agendas, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, your kingdom come. God, we call out of darkness, God, those that are entrapped, Father, in the occultic realm. We call them out of darkness. We call them into your marvelous light, God. We pray, Lord, for that harvest, God, to be drawn to yourself, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Take another minute or two and just intercede on that. Pray in that right now. Thank you, Father. Seconds on that. Let's just pray 30 more seconds on that. God, destroy the works of the enemy, God. He's defeated, Lord. Your kingdom be established, God. Your authority be ruling and reigning, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's stand to our feet, and let's just, as a way of saying a big amen, just lift up another shout. I know we shouted earlier, but just as a way of saying amen, let's just lift up a shout. Let's just lift up a shout. Yeah!
For more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.